Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right. What's up, everybody? Hey, so the way Shelley tells that story, it makes me sound so heroic. Like, you know, oh, he was up at 3 a.m. in the morning praying with full of faith, the man of God. I was freaking out because the rest of the story is that was a Thursday, and that day, having no money in, we had $100 in the Motion Church checking account because we are just deep pockets around here, right? And so I'd already told the landlord, yeah, we'll take it. We'll sign the lease on Monday. And so at 3 a.m., yeah, I was praying, oh, God, help me, please. But you know what I think God does? This is what I think God does. I think God honors that step of faith, right? How many times in our lives do we miss out on what God has for us because we're not willing to take that first step? And man, here's like $3,000 to God ain't no thing. Right? It, you know, to me, that's a lot of money, right? To me, it's like, oh, man, what am I going to do? How are we going to do this? Like, I'm in trouble. I don't even know what the repercussions are for saying that you're going to pay $3,000 and you ain't got $3,000 to pay. Am I going to jail, Jesus? Right? These are the questions that are running through my head. But I think we have to take that first step to see God come through, right? Like, why would God come through if we ain't done anything to help him come through? Any reason? Like, faith activates God's arm, right? It brings out God's blessing in our life. And so I don't know why. I just wanted to set the record straight on Shelley making me sound really awesome when I'm fair to Midland, right? So we're continuing a series this week called Noise. I like props and dirt. And so the premise of the series has been, it's called the parable of the sower, or there's some people that call it the parable of the soil, which is really interesting. And essentially what's going on here is Jesus is telling a story, and he's trying to communicate a couple of different things. And I think there are two primary takeaways from this story. The first one, he's talking about seeds, right? And he's talking about how when you put a seed into the ground, the premise or the purpose of the seed is to grow, right? Nobody ever puts a seed into the ground and be like, die, seed. Like, that's not what it was ever intended to do. That's not its created intent. So you put the seed in the ground with the expectation that it's going to grow. And I think Jesus is kind of telling us the same thing. It's like, hey, the seeds that are in your heart, these things that I've placed in your heart, these purposes that I've placed in your heart, they're supposed to grow. And then I think almost as kind of a caveat or a warning, he's like, but you need to know there are some interferences, there are some noises, there are some disturbances that can keep you from growing. So he talks about the first seed and how not understanding what God is doing will keep you from growing. Because how many, let's be honest, right? We're in church. Like, you know, I could spin that story that Shelley just told really well and make it sound like I've got this all figured out. But I didn't have any idea what God was doing, right? I had no idea how God was going to come through. I had no idea I thought I was going to jail, right? That's my understanding. That was a story that we'll talk about later when I did go to jail. So did Paul, and he was a great man of God. So what? So there's that. That's right. I was trying to start a prison ministry, people. Y'all laughing at Jesus, right? So anyway, the first one is just, hey, not understanding what God is doing will keep you from growing. If I don't understand chemistry, which I don't, I'll never be active in chemistry, right? And so it's just kind of this seed of understanding that we talked about. The next week, we talked about how not properly understanding suffering will keep us from growing, because suffering is a necessary part of life. Let me just break it down for you. Let me kind of bust your bubble, Cinderella, right? There's no Prince Charmings. There are no fairy tale endings. There's no rainbows and unicorns. There may be rainbows, but I think unicorns have not been found yet, right? Like, look, life is awesome and really challenging. Life is really good and really difficult all at the same time. Somebody calls it brutiful. Like, it's brutal and beautiful all at the same time. So there is suffering. And if you don't know going into this following Jesus thing that there's going to be some suffering, you're going to check out, because you may have been told you may have been sold a bill of goods. Like maybe somebody told you, hey man, just give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be great. And then you start following Jesus and you realize, man, people talk about me. Or, you know, people betray me. People stab me in the back. Or people still die. Because that happens, right? And so maybe you were misled as to what following Jesus is. So just know going into it that there is some suffering, and we grow through suffering. Like, man, do we know this yet? Have we figured out that we don't grow when things are good? We grow when things are really, really challenging. Maybe when you get to the other side of it, that's when you realize, man, I'm stronger now than I was before. Speaking of, like, seeds and things growing, did you know that palm trees actually grow when high winds blow on them? So as these winds push on the palm trees, which is fascinating because they're typically in these, you know, hurricane areas, right? So these high winds are blowing on the palm tree, and it's like the palm tree, in response to the adversity and the suffering, puts its roots down even deeper, and it grows taller. And I'm like, could that be us, right? Maybe it should be us. So that was the second week. I'm like re-preaching the whole series. You're getting the whole thing. And last week, just quickly, we talked about thorns and how there are some things that will choke the life that God intends you for you to have out. And basically, you know, we'll narrow it down to three things. Friends, pursuit of money in the wrong ways, right? Like, man, if you are a successful business person, it's probably a gift that God gave you, so go ahead and do that, right? But if we are deceived by wealth and we think that's what brings contentment, that will choke out the life that God has for you. So that's what we've talked about. That's where we've been. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different. It's instead of talking about these things that are noises or disturbances to us growing, we're going to talk about how to exponentiate our growth. And I'll be honest, I didn't even know that was a real word until I typed it in, and spell check didn't correct me. I was like, all right, good. Y'all do that anymore? Because we don't write anything. Like, I type stuff, and I'm like, I spelled it right. So we're going to look at how to grow, how to exponentiate our growth, what we can do on our part to prepare our hearts for growth. So here's the story, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and this is what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And we talked about in the first week, I think it was, out. That was such a cool thing because what Jesus was doing, he was launching out into the lake so that everybody could actually hear him because water is a natural amplifier. So Jesus was using like a mic and a PA and then he dropped the mic, but don't do that in the water because I think that's a hazard. And so just what a cool thing that Jesus would leverage the technology of the day to reach more people. And so while all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables and stories. And this is the first one he said. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And again, that's easy to visualize, right? You see the birds in parking lots all the time swooping down and grabbing stuff. Because obviously if a seed falls on asphalt or concrete, it can't penetrate, it can't, you know, get its roots down into and through that, so the birds come and steal it. And then some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. And this is the part that is really fascinating to me. It said it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Look at your neighbor and say, you're shallow. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You did it. If it's your spouse, that's on you. Have fun with that. So, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And in verse 8, this is the seed that we're going to look at today. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And so the title of today's message for all of you trendy youngsters, hipsters, is Keep It 100. Right? Keep It 100. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. It's like, hey, I think we want to grow, right? I think we come to church as an example to learn, to grow, to change, to be renewed in our minds, to be transformed in our hearts, to see some tangible growth in our life. So we want to grow. It's obvious because we're here. And so knowing that, what are some things that we can do to help us grow, to help us keep it 100? The first thing is we're going to talk about the seed of success. And so we're going to look at this from a couple of different angles today. And so when Jesus says this statement, it's like, hey, You know, if you put the seed in a good soil, it's gonna grow, it's gonna produce a harvest, 30, 60, or 100-fold what was produced, right? Or whatever was invested. You're gonna get significantly more out of it than you put into it. And so when somebody says something like that, I'm like, yeah? Tell me more, right? You get interested. I got interested. Did you get interested? All right. You did not act in that moment like you were interested. Freak me out, right? So that simple statement just led me to a bunch of questions that I kind of wanted to clarify for my own sake and then things that I think I can share with you. So the first place we'll start is what Jesus' explanation of that story was. Matthew 13, verse 23, this is what he said. He said, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, right? Like we talked about before, not understanding will keep you from growing. So here's the word, and he understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And so here are some of the questions that I came up with. What is a fold, right? 30, 60, 100 fold, or 160, 30 fold, because it goes in reverse order. Why does it go in reverse order? Does Jesus not understand math? Because we always, right, we typically go in ascending order, not descending order. And so why did Jesus go 160, 30? These are the kind of questions I ask in my brain. What is good soil? That was another question that I had. Like, what does it mean to be good soil? Those are good questions, right? That's a question that I didn't have the full explanation and answer to, so I wanted to find out what that means. The last question I had is, does producing a crop have a deeper meaning? Like, what does that mean to produce a crop? And so these are the kind of questions that I have in my head, and so I wanted to answer some of these, because maybe these are the questions that you have in your head. And if you have the same things going on in your head that I have going on in my head, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. So the first question is, what is a fold? What does it mean to grow in that regard? And so fold, all it means is this. It means a yield or a gift. And simply put, kind of in terms of planting, so when you put a very tiny seed, we've got some seeds over here. We went to Walmart, and I asked my son what kind of seed he wanted. He said carrots. Of all the seeds you could get, he wanted carrots. All right, we're doing this the hard way. All right, so this very, I have fat fingers. This is going to be a challenge. Wow. I've got like 30 of them. Can you see it? I can't even see it. That's a callus. That's not a seed. Do y'all see the seeds as they fall onto the, we're going to have carrots here next week. It's going to be awesome. So they're so small, right? So when we plant something like that into the ground, I think the idea of producing a crop, producing a harvest, increasing exponentially, what happens is what we get out of it is significantly more than what we've put into the ground. When you plant a rose bush or something, right, or, you know, whatever it is that you put in the ground, any kind of flower, it goes in, and what you get from it is so much more than what you put into it. So be it a fruit tree, or it produces so much more fruit than the one seed that you put in the ground. If it produces nuts, it produces so much more, so many more nuts than what was actually put in the ground. And so kind of thinking about it in those terms, it makes sense. Whatever was invested, whatever it was that got started, in the end produces so much more than just the little thing that you started with. Does that make sense? Are you tracking? And so whatever you're in pursuit of, be it fruit, nuts, or flakes, like granola bars, right? No, fruit, nuts, or flowers, or whatever it is, it's so much greater than the thing that was invested. The next question is, why did Jesus go backwards? Like, what is he doing here? Why did he start with keep it 100? And so kind of this is a hypothesis. This is not proven. I don't know if it can be proven. Maybe when we die and we go to heaven, we're like, Jesus, tell me why. As if that's going to be something that actually matters, something we actually care about. Tell me why you went backwards 100, 60, and 30. But think about this possibly as a possible solution to this answer. When I tell a story or you tell a story, we're always drawn to the biggest, most grandiose outcome, right? Like, we love drama. TV ratings prove it, right? We love drama. And your feed, your social media feed proves that you love drama. Not you, but other people and other church folks, right? And so we're drawn to the most, you know, grandiose outcome, the most significant outcome. And I think almost as if Jesus knows us, he's like, hey, your life, if you do this right and you've become good soil, your heart is prepared for what it is that I'm trying to do in your life, then you might have 100-fold increase. And that's what we're drawn to. We're like, I want to do these incredible things, and I want to be awesome, and I want to change the world. But you know what? It may not always look like you think it's going to look like, but it doesn't mean there isn't still value if it's a 60-fold increase. And it doesn't mean that there's not value if it's a 30-fold increase. Does that make sense? And so almost not as a concession, but just as a reminder, hey, there's still value. If it didn't turn out quite like you thought it should, or it's not going the way that you think it should go, it doesn't make it insignificant. It still has tremendous value. Let me ask you a question. Let's prove this. If I told you that I was going to multiply what's in your bank account by 30 times, would you be mad at me? So why would we be mad at God when it doesn't look like we think it should, but it still has brought forth tremendous transformation? And so what Jesus maybe he's saying is like, hey, just because it's not exactly what you thought it was, just because it's not 100, 60 and 30 is still incredible. It's something for us to be in pursuit of and to be thankful for and to find some contentment with. That's my thoughts. Do with it what you want, right? The last question is, does producing a crop have a deeper meaning? Do y'all always look for deeper meanings? Are you one of those weird people that try to like analyze and psychoanalyze people when you ask them a question? It's like, how you doing? And then you start looking for angles. Go home. Stop. Oh, that's so irritating. People are always trying to read you. I'm like, no, I just said my mom died. Leave me alone, right? So weird. So does producing a crop have a deeper meaning? And I think the answer is yes, I think it does. Follow with me here. Track with me here, because this is going to get, I'm going to nerd out. This will be my first of two nerd outs, so bear with me. The Greek word for produced and producing a crop is the Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. Yes, I am. Ditto me. And this is what it means. It means to give. So when you produce, you give. You bestow a gift. Everybody say the word gift. Do it one more time. Gift. All right, so the Greek word for produce means to bestow a gift. The Greek word for crop, so when you produce a crop, it means fruit, the fruit of the trees, the fruit of one's loins. So fruit, everybody say fruit. Say gift. Say fruit. Say gift. Say gift. I was going to see if I could trick you. You guys are too sharp for that. And so in Scripture, when we talk about gifts, gifts are so often associated with the talents that we have, the abilities that are innate, these things that are inside of us that we didn't necessarily work for or try to accomplish on our own, but it's just a God-given gift, right? These are what gifts are so often referred to in Scripture. If you've got this thing that you do exceptionally well, or this thing inside of you that helps you to help others, that's a gift from God, and so that's part of your producing. And the word crop, or what we find to be fruit, is so often correlated and connected to the fruit of the Spirit, right? If you read Galatians chapter 5, it talks about how the fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. That's not in there. That's a VBS thing, right? But the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And so kind of the connection is, when the Bible says that you will produce a crop, it means that if you use your gift, you'll see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And let me break that down for you just a little bit further. If you're not utilizing the tools that God has placed inside of you to serve other people, to help other people, to lead other people, you're not going to get to experience the blessing and the fruit of God. You're not going to get to experience to the fullest extent, because God is so gracious and merciful, he'll probably let you experience a taste, but he wants you to experience all of it, right? There's so much. Have you ever had a sip of something that was really good and you wanted so much more, but all you could get was a sip? Like, man, I want to chug that. I want it to run down my face, and I want to just be drenched in Monster energy drink, low carb, right? That's my jam. But if I could only have a sip, it would be so good, but it would be so like unsatisfying because I didn't get all that I wanted. And I think God doesn't want us to just have a sip. He wants us to have all of it. He wants us to take a gulp. And so with respect to the fruit, he wants us to experience all of the blessings that he has for us. He wants us to experience love and joy and peace and patience. Good Lord. I don't know. Every time I say the word patience, I'm just like, I am in need. All the parents say amen. All right. So track with me here. When we use our gifts, we get to experience the fruit. When we use our gifts, we get to experience the fruit. When we see what we have to offer and we actually do something with what we have to offer, then we get to experience success, because we're talking about the seed of success. Now, it's not necessarily success, though it may be. It's not success typically in the way we think of success. I know better than this, and I'm sure you do too, but I still struggle with success meaning things, right? I still struggle with success meaning resources, money, materialism, possessions. It's still a struggle, and I know better, right? I know that that's not, because let's be honest, how many times have we got the thing that we want, and 3 weeks later, we're so dissatisfied with the thing that we want? It doesn't bring about the contentment and the satisfaction that we thought that it would, because those things were never created or intended to satisfy us. There's only one that can do that. There's only one scratch for that itch. You got to be from East Texas for that to make sense, right? And so in a spiritual sense, success is getting to experience the purpose that God has created you with and for, right? Getting to experience the satisfaction and contentment because you're doing what he created you to do, because you're using the things that he's given you to help and to serve other people, right? Then we get to experience, when we put ourselves out there like that and we expend our energy on others, then we get to experience the love, the joy, the peace. And what's so fascinating about this is, like, I think sometimes we think, well, I can't give too much because I want to hold back some for myself. And what's so cool is, like, that is an equation that doesn't add up, because as you give, God is constantly giving you. It's the difference between alternating current and direct current. I need an engineer up here to come explain all this stuff for us, right? Like, we know that with direct current, when you have a battery, eventually those batteries are going to run out, right? It's got a life, even as good as batteries are these days. But if you plug it into the wall where there's a constant power source, it doesn't matter how much energy it uses, you'll never run out of energy because you're plugged into a constant power source. And so the same thing happens in our lives. As we give, if we're plugged into this constant power source, he's constantly refueling us and refreshing us and preparing us for the things that he has in store for us. So that's the seed of success. Those are some of the questions that I had about it and some of the answers that I came up with. The second one was the second point. I thought it was a question that was so good that it kind of needed its own point. It's one of those that could stand alone. And so we're going to talk about, secondly, the soil of success. I could just make a mess up here, and this would be fun. How many of you still play in dirt? Like, let's be honest. Nobody raise their hand? Anybody? All right, we got a couple. How many of you guys have a green thumb? Anybody have a green thumb? Not like literally, you know, it's a metaphor, figure of speech, right? How many of you are good at growing things? How many of you are awful at it? So that's us. We try, it never works out well. I always have a bunch of thorns in our flower bed, and I don't understand. Like, I'm coming through and I'm ripping them up, and I still can't ever seem to always get rid of all of the dumb thorns. And so we're going to look at what it means to be good soil. That's one of the questions that we had. Stuff is all over me, man. What it means to be good soil. Because Jesus said that we had to have good soil in order to grow. And that got me to thinking, what is good soil? And so in a very natural sense, if you go and plant something at your house, or let's say you've got a planter box at your apartment and you want to plant some flowers, the first thing you're going to do is prepare the soil for the plant to go in, right? And so we had a tree right out by our front yard, or right by our front door, and this is the dumbest idea. Don't ever try to remove a tree. I learned the hard way, because I was like, I don't like that tree. I want another tree. And so when you go start trying to dig up the other tree, the next thing you know, like, you're in China, and you need to learn Chinese. Like, my Mandarin is rusty, right? And so you have to dig up this massive hole. You've got to do everything that's necessary to prepare the soil for whatever's going in next. So I was chopping up roots and digging and chopping up roots and digging. And I mean, it was a huge hole. I'm exaggerating a little, but you get the idea. And so we've got to remove any roots. We've got to remove any interferences, anything that would cause a distraction, anything that would be a hindrance to the growth of whatever it is that we're trying to get to grow. We also have to make sure that the necessary nutrients are in place. Anytime I say the word nutrients, I think about Nacho Libre. They give me no nutrients. And so it's the soil has to have the necessary nutrients in place to support and promote life. That makes perfect sense in the physical. What about in the spiritual, right? In our hearts, because this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about our hearts. The soil is our hearts. The seed is God's word. And when it gets in there, what happens to it depends on how we respond to it, if we've prepared for it. So we need to prepare the soil of our hearts to be good seed. We've got to remove the interferences, the roots from other things, like the first 3 weeks that we've talked about. These things, these noises that keep us from growing. So there's that, right? There's the first part of it. Then you've got to make sure you've got the necessary nutrients in place to support and promote life. From my limited understanding of science, like if I, drawing on my fifth grade knowledge here, have you guys ever seen Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Those are not fifth grade questions. That's like, those are fresh college freshman questions. I'm like, I went to fifth grade. I never learned that. Like, did you go to like the fifth grade for the exceptionally talented and brilliant? Because that's not the one I went to. Albert Einstein was one of your teachers, and it was a hologram. It's crazy. And so what happens is, where did we get that from? My fifth grade science, yes, that's how it works. So basically, the way I understand plant life and growth is that it needs a couple of things to grow, right? It needs water, and it needs light. Those, and it takes the light, and it produces, you know, through the process of photosynthesis, which it seems more like witchcraft to me. It's just crazy. And so it takes the light and transforms it into energy so that the plant can live, and not just live, but also grow. And so it seems to me that maybe the Bible says that the word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And so in preparing our heart for what God wants to do, maybe we need to know who he is. And we need to know what his character is so that we know when we feel like what it is that he wants us to do is in line with his character, because he would never ask us to do anything that's out of line with his character. And so we've got to have his word in our hearts so that we're prepared. It's preparing. It's adding the nutrients that are necessary to support and promote life. As we read God's word, it prepares the soil of our hearts to be successful. It's also, scripture also refers to scripture as, it's almost like me referring to myself as Chris, right? In the third person. But scripture also refers to itself as water. It says, wash me in the water of your word. And so as we allow water, the word, to get into our hearts, it's preparing the soil for growth. It's making sure that the necessary nutrients are in place. Here's my second nerd out, bear with me. Do you know that plants are actually 90% water? I think humans are what, 65, 70% water, is that correct? Something like that, ballpark. The earth is 2/3 water. Deion Sanders covers the other third. If you're a 90s kid, you got it, right? And so God's word, this 90%, this was the thought I had on that. A plant is 90% filled with water so that it can grow. And so what happens through the process of transpiration, which is just, you know, another one of these things, it's witchcraft, I'm telling you, man. And so through the process of transpiration, the plant takes the water and exchanges it for carbon dioxide so that it can grow even more. And so for us, kind of the takeaway is, as we allow God's word to get into our hearts, there's this exchange that starts to take place. We exchange the water for the carbon dioxide. Let me give you an example. We exchange selfishness for selflessness. And there's these exchanges that start happening, and we're not even working at it. We're not being necessarily intentional about it. It's just a byproduct of having God's word in our hearts. We start to see crazy things like, I don't know, anxiety being replaced with peace. Frustration being replaced with, I don't know, joy. Right? Maybe your fear is replaced with courage. Maybe your greed is replaced with generosity. There's the transpiration that's taking place as the word goes in and transformation starts to take place. Then you get to experience the exchange. The things that we have that hold us back from growing start to come into our life if we prepare the soil of our hearts. And this, let's just have an honest moment in church, right? This is not our church. These are other churches and church statistics and those sorts of things. This is the most access to knowledge the world has ever seen. And we're dumber than we've ever been. Like, it's just a fact of life. And this is how that translates to church life. We've never had it easier to have access to God's word. It's on every smart device that we have, right? Not to mention there's these things called books with paper, right? So we have access to God's word at a higher rate than any human in all of history. And we know less than we've ever known. And we do less than we've ever done. And we don't read God's word because we don't feel like it necessarily has any significant value on our life as a Christian. And it's what changes us. It's what prepares our hearts for growth. It's what allows the transpiration to take place. It causes the fear to leave our hearts and the faith to come in. It causes the doubts to leave our hearts and the belief to come in. It causes the anxiety to leave our hearts and the peace to come in. But we don't get to experience it if we neglect God's word, if we don't get the water and the light in our hearts. Amen. So read your Bible, people. Read it. It's good. I'm going to close with this. I have a thought, and because I want to be transparent, right? I mean, let's be honest about being honest. It's really important. It's kind of a fascinating thing. There are parts of this growth thing that are really frustrating. Have you ever noticed how when we don't see something, we have a really hard time believing something? And so what happens oftentimes with growth is just because we don't see it, we find it hard to believe it. Because as we mentioned, these things are tiny. And so I have some thoughts on this. Whoa. We're seriously going to have carrots all over the... I'm going to plant some just for fun. And so it's so small, right? And because it's so small, it seems insignificant. It seems so insignificant. But growth, just because it's small, doesn't mean it doesn't have tremendous potential. What God starts, man, it can be a word spoken to your heart. It can be this crazy idea that you have. It could be you're up at 3 a.m. in the morning and you don't know what you're going to do. It could be this really small thing that has tremendous significance. And so what we need to do or not do is not diminish the thing because it's so small. Just continue to trust and prepare our hearts. So the seed often feels insignificant because it's so small. The seed, then what happens is the seed, it goes into the ground where it's invisible, right? We can't see it when it's in the ground. I can't. I don't know if you can, if you've got those x-ray vision thing. Would that work? Does x-ray vision work in the ground or only through walls? I don't know. I'm not up on my superhero stuff, apparently. And so when the seed goes into the ground, it's invisible. And when we can't see anything, we have a really hard time believing. Or we start to doubt that this is what's really supposed to be happening in our life. We kind of lose hope. We start to believe that, oh, man, it was so small, and now I can't see it. So there couldn't possibly be any change taking place in my life. And we need to remember, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it ain't happening. Like, there have been so many times in my life where I couldn't see what was going on, and I couldn't process everything that was taking place. But when you get to the other side, you'll see so clearly how you were growing the whole time. There was change taking place the whole time, even if you couldn't see it. So at first, it seems insignificant, and then it becomes invisible. And because you can't see it, sometimes you feel ignorant. You ever feel like that? Story of my life, right? Like, I just, you know, most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing, right? I feel like, you know, this is the general direction I'm supposed to go. This is generally the course that I'm supposed to take, but I don't know all of the specifics. I feel kind of ignorant about the things that are going on, and I think so many times that's what happens in our hearts is like, man, we don't fully understand, and we have such a proclivity when we don't fully understand anything, we don't want to do anything, right? When if you don't give me all of the details and all of the steps and all of the parts of the process, then I'm just not going to do anything. And that's not how God works. Sometimes you've got to take the first step, even when it doesn't make a bit of sense, even when it's, hey, I'm going to put my life on the line and potentially go to jail for saying that I'm going to sign a lease on Monday, which I don't think really that would happen. I hope not, right? And you've got to take the first step, and then you get to see kind of the rest of the staircase, the next step on the staircase as you take the steps. And so oftentimes we feel ignorant. When we don't see it, we don't understand it because it's in the ground. And here's what's crazy. I have never seen a seed go into the ground and I've never watched it grow in the ground, and I've never watched it as it broke through the topsoil, and then you get to see it, right? But I've never seen the process that takes place underneath, but it still takes place underneath. Because all the plants and all the trees that we have in the world, right, are indicators that the process works. And so what we've got to do is when we're feeling like this, when we're feeling a little bit frustrated, let the dirt do the work. Put the seed, prepare it right, do the right things, do the things necessary to prepare for life and growth. Put the seed in the ground and then let the dirt do the work. Trust the process. There's always this process. And sometimes it's more lengthy than we would prefer, but that doesn't mean that it's not significant. It doesn't always look like we think it should look like, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have tremendous value. Sometimes there are setbacks. I'm sure there are times where there's more water than necessary and less water than necessary and more light than necessary and less light than necessary, right? You track and things aren't always perfect. Trust the process. There's a process for us to grow, to exponentiate our growth. And so let the dirt do the work. Let the dirt do the work. Just because it's small doesn't mean it doesn't have tremendous value. Every great thing has humble beginnings. Just because you can't see it because it's invisible doesn't mean that the process isn't taking place, doesn't mean that there isn't growth. And just because you don't understand doesn't mean that you're not growing. Trust the process. Let the dirt do the work. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for all that you do for us. God, for the things that we can't fully understand with our finite understanding. For giving us glimpses, for giving us just bits and pieces of what we need to know, to trust you, to follow you, to belong to you. God, I pray for anybody in this room today, God, that they're on the right path and they're trying to grow, but if we're being honest, they're just a little frustrated. They don't see it. They don't understand it. It's invisible. They feel ignorant. God, I pray that you would encourage them this morning, that they're on the right path, that they're doing the right thing, that to trust the process and to keep the faith and keep believing that you're going to do what you said you were going to do. It's the way for them to live their life. God, I pray that you would just infuse them with faith this morning. God, don't let them get discouraged and don't let them be dismayed, God, but let them to help them to remember that this is the course and this is the path that you've chosen for them to go down. And they will see growth in their lives if they continue to trust in you. God, we thank you that you've given us these glimpses into what it takes to be a mature follower. God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to apply this to our lives. Help us to be people of your word. God, to not neglect it, but to prepare our hearts for the growth that's going to take place through the washing of the water of your word. God, that your word would be a light to our feet and a lamp to our path, so that we always know who we are. We always know whose we are, and we always know where we're going. We love you so much, Jesus. It's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody say, amen.